And now, Prophecy Q&A with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and Jimmy DeYoung Jr.
Thank you, Jay Johnson. This is Jimmy DeYoung Jr., and you're listening to Prophecy Q&A Live. It's that time of the week where we take your questions that you sent in to us, and we give you answers, or we try to give you answers, based on how we understand Bible prophecy, really based on how we read God's Word. Well, thank you for taking the time to be with us this week. Let me go over a few things real quick pertaining to our website, Prophecy Today, and things that we have coming up in the future. Listen, we do have our trip in Israel coming up. And as I look at our schedule and what we're doing, and we have some more spots that are open, why don't you come and join with us? If you're thinking about contemplating going to Israel, now is a great time to go to the land of Israel. If you listen to our Live 365, which is, that is a great radio program. If you want to listen to Bible prophecy all day long, examining current events in the light of God's prophetic word, then listen to Live 365 all day long. You could have it on in your office, in your home. I know that a lot of people listen to it on a daily basis. We could see people are listening to us all day long and keeping it on in their homes. And we try to put the current news, all the latest events that are happening. But and if you've listened to it, you have heard me do our interview with Kenny Guerin. And Kenny talks about going to Israel and the importance of it, especially, and I believe this, and this is why we have been doing this since 1980, in the 1980s, 1990s, we have consistently been taking two groups a year to the land of Israel. I believe there was a little bit of a hiatus after 9/11, understandably so. But we have been taking people to Israel because we see the value of taking people to the land of Israel. We see the importance, especially as you study God's Word. Now, you don't have to go to Israel to understand God's Word, but it really does help it come alive to you. And it really does help it to for those words to jump off the pages, to see God's plan in the past, and presently for the state of Israel, and in the future, God's plan for the Jewish people and Jerusalem in the future, and that's what we take a look at. And so we are taking our trip, and if you have thought about going, we do have one this fall, October 21st through the 30th, which is the Israel portion of the trip. And then we take our Petra extension, which we leave, and I mean, you could go to our website, Joshua Travel, click on our itinerary, see what's there, what we will be doing each day, everything that we will see, not only my teaching or Dad's teaching, but also our local Israeli guide that we've been working with for so long. And I'm telling you, I mean, he makes it come alive, and it is so perfect. And he's one of the top guides in the country of in the state of Israel, and really does a great job. And I think you will really find him entertaining, but you'll see everything that we get to do. From the first night, and we have gone through this. We don't let somebody else set our itinerary for us. This is something that we have gone over and over and over and try to fit in as much as we can in a day's time. And we start out in the city of Jerusalem, two nights in Jerusalem, and then up to the Galilee, and then back to Jerusalem. That's the first portion. That's our Israel portion of our trip. That's 8 days. And with 2 days travel, that makes 10. And that's from October 21st through the 30th. And then we have our Petra extension, where after the Israel portion is done, we drive all the way down, still staying in Israel, to Eilat. 3 days in Eilat, and one of those days we get up early in the morning and go over to see Petra and spend the day there, hiking around, seeing all that, understanding the prophetic significance. Now, again, looking at Petra from the past, today what it is, one of the seven wonders of the world, and then in the future, what we believe God has in store for the city of Petra in the country of Jordan. So if you're interested in that, please go to our website. We would love to have you go with us this fall. October 21st through November 3rd is the Israel and Jordan extension. And then, of course, we have one next spring. We do it both spring and fall. We'd love to have you come with us, be a part of our group, enjoy the land. And there's no better time to go than right now, as Kenny always says. And as a matter of fact, if you've heard him, he says, Jimmy, you want to go now? You got your bags packed? Yep, my bags are always packed, Kenny, and I'm ready to go to be there in the land. So go to our website, take a look at that. We do have our prophecy conference coming up this fall. This is another great time where we get together with those that follow our ministry, people that are involved in our School of Prophets and our master's program, men that are studying the for their doctorate. And they're working through our program in conjunction with Louisiana Baptist University. Anybody can do that. You can come if you just feel like, you know what, I want to go down there. I want to be a part of what's going on. I want to sit in. I want to listen. I want to learn. And I enjoy that. As a 55-year-old man now, I really enjoy going to a place where I can sit and learn. I can't always say that was when I went to college. It was clearly to play soccer in the early days. I mean, I was an athlete, and that's the only reason I went. But now, when I just enjoy, whether it's a Sunday morning church service, Wednesday night Bible study, anytime, whether I'm listening on the radio or just in my daily devotions or my daily time of study, I love studying. I love to listen to men that clearly convey the message and the importance of what they're conveying. And of course, at our prophecy conference in Chattanooga, we're going to be doing that again this year. This one is in September, the 2015 conference. It's in Chattanooga from the 8th of September to the 10th, right after Labor Day. Come on up to Chattanooga, a great place to go. Beautiful city in the mountains, Lookout Mountain, the Tennessee River. So much to see there. That's where our headquarters are located. Dad will be teaching on the kingdom, now or yet to come. And that's a very timely topic, especially as you listen to Bible teachers and ministry heads and pastors today speak. A lot of times they're getting this gospel of the kingdom mixed up, and I think you'll find that very interesting. And we have a brand new video that will be coming out very soon on the kingdom, now or yet to come, and that was shot in Israel. Plus, Dave James will be teaching on the signs, wonders, and the charismatic movement. And let me just see. I just want to read for you. Let me read for you Dad's description of his class. It examines God's plan for an earthly kingdom and Satan's attempt to derail those plans. It addresses the error of kingdom now theology and explores a proper biblical view of Christ's reign on the earth. This doctorate level course will be taught by Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, my father. The topics include God's proclamation of the kingdom, Satan's perversion of the kingdom, Daniel's promise of the kingdom, the Lord's presentation of the kingdom, the Jewish rejection of the kingdom, Satan's kingdom through history, the precursor to the kingdom, prospects for the kingdom today, the kingdom now heresy, and the kingdom millennial and eternal. So that's a great class course that you can sit in and take those. And of course, Dave James, the dean of our Bible school, our resident theologian on the weekend radio program, he'll be doing signs, wonders, and the charismatic movement. This course looks at the purpose and function of signs and wonders as God has intervened in history from Genesis to Revelation. Then the theology and practice of the modern-day charismatic movement will be evaluated in order to bring biblical principles and clarity to the tremendous amount of confusion surrounding the issue. And, of course, Dave will be teaching that, and you can come and be a part of that. Do that with us. Come. We have get-togethers, food socials, ice cream socials. We do things there in Chattanooga. It's a great city to come and bring your family if your children are homeschooled, and they can come. They can even come and be a part of these classes. I guarantee you they will learn quite a bit in these classes. I'll be there looking forward to seeing you, meeting you, and any of those that come along with us, and it'll be a great time. So those are just some of the things that we have coming up. I also, I will be leaving again in for Romania. I'll leave for Romania at the end of August, and I'll be going there. We're helping our guys that we work with there, Julian, and if you've listened to our program before, as a matter of fact, I might try to get Julian to come back on and do an interview with us so that you can hear from him what we will be doing and his strategy for taking back the country of Romania for the Lord and what he's doing. But I'll be there along with a pastor from Dallas, Heath Marion, Dr. Heath Marion. He and I will be opening up their MIA University, Life University, in Romania. And we'll be doing a module class, kicking it off and teaching. I'll be teaching on the three strands of the human family. We want to teach a proper hermeneutics and a proper systematic study of Bible prophecy for these young people, laying the groundwork. Heath will be doing one on leadership, and which is, I think all of these things are so very important, and we're kicking it off. And so if you can help us, we would love for your help. Go to our website. You can find the donate button on the right-hand column, at the top. You could say, listen, I want to be a part. I want to partner with Jimmy Jr. as he's going over to help kick off the MIA University. And this is what I would like to do and help. And at the very least, we need your prayers. Be praying for us as we go over and we take part in the program there in Romania with Iulian Avramescu. Go to our website, prophecytoday.com, or go to my website, Extreme Prophecy, Xtreme, extremeprophecy.com, and you will be able to find out everything that we're doing. And really, we do all of this so that we can understand the times in which we're living, understanding and seeing how prophecy is coming about to be fulfilled in the future. Remember, there are no prophecies left to be fulfilled. And so everything that we're taking a look at on our website, all those top 10 news stories that we do every day, all the Prophecy Today intelligence briefing, the Prophecy Today daily programs, everything that's there are talking about future prophetic events only to show us where we are and God's timetable, how close that we are to the rapture of the church. So let's take some questions. Paul Doltz sends in a question. He says, will the Antichrist be exalted during the day of the Lord or before? Now, we understand, Paul, from the time that the Antichrist will come on the scene. Now, that's Revelation chapter 6. That's that first seal. Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. That's that first seal that's opened up, that Jesus Christ opens up. And that unleashes the man on a white horse, which represents the Antichrist. Now, that is after Revelation chapter 4 and 5. And 6 comes after 4 or 5. I know that you would think, man, you went to seminary to understand all of that? Yes, but that gives us an indication as to when the Antichrist will be revealed. After Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, which represents the rapture of the church. So, to answer your question, the Antichrist is not going to come on the scene until after the rapture of the church. But that first seal that Jesus Christ, and in chapters 4 and 5, we're in the throne room of heaven. We get a glimpse of the throne room of heaven, everything that is there. The 24 elders, which I believe represents the church, what they're wearing, the garments, the crowns on their head. That's, we have just gone through the judgment seat of Christ. And then Jesus is handed that first scroll, that seven-sealed scroll, and he'll break that first seal, and he's handed that first scroll from God, who is seated on his throne. And Jesus, that lamb that was slain, the lion of the tribe of Judah, will open that first seal, which unleashes the Antichrist. And a lot of people, and I'm sure probably you're thinking, well, when does this happen and why does it take so long? And I get this question a lot. Is the Antichrist alive today? I do believe there is someone that can fulfill that role of the Antichrist today. I don't believe that they're, you know, immortal, that they live forever. I believe that they're born and they're died. And I believe that Satan has to have someone ready to fulfill the role of the Antichrist. I believe he's had to have someone ready throughout history. That, and we do know people throughout history, Domitian, Nero, Adolf Hitler. There have been people throughout history that could have played or fulfilled that role of the Antichrist. And I believe that he has someone ready. He has to, because he doesn't know, just like I don't know when the rapture is going to take place. So I believe he has to have someone ready to fulfill that role. I believe potentially there is somebody ready right now that is fulfilling the role. And we have pointed that out before. We teach that when we talk about the Antichrist. There are men that are involved in positions and leadership roles around the earth that meet the qualifications of the Antichrist. So as we look at this, I don't believe he's going to come on the scene until after the rapture of the church and Jesus Christ opens that first seal. And a description of that first seal, a man riding a white horse, wearing a crown, carrying a bow with no arrows. He's a man that comes at peace, and that's what the Antichrist does. Daniel chapter 9 tells us that the Antichrist, as he comes on the scene, and really what begins that, what we call the day of the Lord, or the seven-year period of time, the tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, the Antichrist confirms a peace agreement with Israel. And I don't know how long that will be before that event takes place. I think through this, and I've thought through this with a lot of teachers and theologians, with my father, you know, what will happen after the rapture? Will the earth be in total chaos? That would set the scene for a man to come on the scene. We do know that the shift of power and balance will shift from the United States of America to Europe, because that's in Bible prophecy. The revival of the old Roman Empire will come to be, and that's what the Antichrist will use as his power base. His headquarters will be in the city of Rome. That's where he'll establish the false church. That's Revelation chapter 17. So all of these things that we see will come to fruition after the rapture of the church. But how long will it be with the earth in total chaos after millions of people have left the earth? You know, how will it come? How long will it take for order to be reestablished again? Will that be 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years? I don't know. But when Christ breaks that seal, that opens the way for the Antichrist to come on the scene, and then that seven-year period of time begins when the Antichrist confirms a peace agreement with the nation of Israel, providing peace for them, and that's what begins that seven-year period of time. So I hope that answers your question. The second part of your question also, are the 144,000, the remnant of Israel, members of are they members of the Bride of Christ? No, they are part of those tribulation saints. Remember that church, that designation for the body of Christ, the bridegroom of Christ, the church, that's a designation that goes from Acts chapter 2, when the church begins, until the rapture of the church. So these 144,000 that are chosen, and that's Revelation chapter 7, Revelation chapter 14, when these 144,000 are chosen to be, I believe, Jewish evangelists that will travel the earth, they'll be protected. They'll have the seal of Jesus Christ on them. They will be able to go and travel the whole earth, giving the gospel message to every person. I believe it's that they are a part of those that come to know the Lord during the tribulation period. And those are really referred to as the saints of the tribulation. There will be many, not those 144,000, that will be martyred for what they believe. And we see that description in that fifth seal that is broken, and as it's revealed to us that those that were slain for what they believed around the throne room in heaven. So that designation, though, for the church or the Bride of Christ is only for those that come to know the Lord during this period of grace, during the period from Acts chapter 2 and to Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, to the rapture of the church. But great question, Paul. Thank you for sending that in. We really appreciate it. Keep studying God's word. Those are great questions, man. We appreciate it. Joy sends in a question. He says, in Thessalonians, it says that the dead in Christ rise first, and we that are still alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Is there a difference between this time and the rapture of the church? If so, explain. Thank you and God bless. Joy, no, there's not a difference. This is the same time. And you're referring to that passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses 13 to 18. Let me read that for you. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Well, Joy, and I've heard it explained like this. The simple explanation is that they are buried in the ground. And you know, there's that time that's needed for them to rise first, and then we join them. It's really instantaneous. It's in the twinkling of an eye. That's faster than a blink that this is all going to happen. The dead in Christ will be resurrected. That is believers of this dispensation, which is the church age. That's what I was just talking about, that period of time from Acts chapter 2 until Revelation chapter 4 or the rapture of the church. This church age in which we live now, they will be raised. Old Testament saints. Those Old Testament saints that we talked about, both Gentiles and Jewish Old Testament saints, righteous Gentiles and righteous Jews, will be raised at the end of the Great Tribulation. That's Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. And for the phrase, in Christ, refers exclusively to the church age, Joy. That's what that in Christ means. That those that have accepted Christ as their personal Savior, as it says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's verse 14. And so the bodies of the dead in Christ will rise before the living Christians are caught up to meet the Lord in the air. How will God do this? This has been the question that many people have raised. How will God raise the bodies of people who were buried thousands, hundreds or thousands of years ago? What about the bodies of those Christians who were burned to death and those whose ashes were thrown to the wind and Christians who perished at sea? The resurrection of the dead poses a great problem to a lot of the faithful. Many of them have this question, and really that's seems to be a hurdle that some people can't get over. Perhaps that is why I think, Joy, that Paul stressed that this revelation came from Jesus Christ himself, and that it is as certain of future fulfillment as Jesus' resurrection is a fact of past history. And that's part of Bible prophecy. Those prophecies that took place in the past, that happened exactly as they were prophesied concerning, you know, for instance, the resurrection of Jesus Christ happened as Christ foretold it, as it was foretold by Old Testament saints, that happened exactly as it would happen, gives me the confidence to know that this scripture about a prophecy in the future that's going to take place is going to happen as it says. And so, and I just look at it, the very God who created the universe out of nothing with a word is fully able to reassemble the decayed bodies of his saints in a moment of time. So I don't have a doubt that this is going to take place, but it does happen. These are two, as you ask in your question, the dead in Christ rise and those that are alive arise at the same time, although one happens just before the other, and then we are caught up to the heavenly. So that's that happens at the same time. So thank you, Joy. Sometimes that's a hard question for people to get past as to how all this will happen. But I just take it by faith. I believe that this is, as it's laid out here, that this is exactly how it's going to happen. Thank you, Joy. Keep studying God's word and keep following and doing what you can do to help others to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Jerry Ellis sends in a question. He says, I listen to you and Brandon House as much as I can. Do you know if International Fellowship of Christians and Jews with Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein is a good and honest ministry? Thanks, Jerry. Well, Jerry, first of all, we've gotten this question quite a few times. I've answered it before. It's not really a prophecy question, but it does pertain to a ministry. And let me just say, that is not a ministry per se. This is an organization run by Jewish people, bringing Jewish people from Russia, from all parts of the, and people, and a lot of Christians give money to this organization. Let me just say this. It's not a ministry, and any of those Jews that you bring to, as you give money to Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein, and remember, there are a lot of administrative costs that are taken out, and people that make very good salaries. I understand that that's a part of these people doing the work. But these Jews, and they bring Jewish people from around the world, a lot of them from Russia. You know, a lot of people have seen the commercials and the infomercials on TV where they're raising the money and starving Russian Jews, and they bring them to Israel. But this is not a ministry. There's no gospel that is given to these Jewish people. Yes, they are returning to the land, and there are a lot of Jewish people that have returned to the land of Israel. Let me just say this. If you want to give money, give it to a good ministry, like Friends of Israel, who give the gospel message, the plan of salvation, to the Jewish people. Give it to any other organization that will present the gospel. Because if you just bring Jews to the land of Israel and you're paying for that, that doesn't guarantee that they are going to hear the gospel. As a matter of fact, Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein's group is very much against giving the gospel message, the plan of salvation, the truth that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, not only to Christians, but to the Jews. So I would be very careful. Yes, they do bring, I'm a witness that they bring Jews to the land of Israel from around the world. There are a lot of Jews that are returning to the land. They're making aliyah. They're immigrating to the land. A lot of the Russian Jews that come to Israel are only looking for Israel as a stopping point, and they would much rather go someplace else. They've escaped Russia, and they are making Israel a stopping point on their journey, and they hope to go someplace else. Some have assimilated. They have become a part of the Israeli society, the Israeli culture. Some are not. There are whole areas in Israel of Russian Jews that have not assimilated, who have not learned the Hebrew language, who, they stick to their own, they're not becoming a part of their Jewish heritage. With the good, they also bring the bad, the Russian mafia, a lot of these people. I mean, that's just a matter of, record. You can see all of these things. But if you're asking about them as a ministry, don't be mistaken. They're not a ministry. I would give your money to an organization that is helping that message of redemption that God has put in place, the death, burial, and resurrection of his son for all of mankind, Gentiles and Jews. And that needs to be an organization that has a firm foundation based on the Word of God, based on the fact that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And Friends of Israel, no doubt I can give you there. I can give a high stamp of approval as an organization that carries that message forward. There are others that do witnessing. My friend August Rosado, I'll just mention him. I did a conference with him last week. He is not bringing Jews from Russia, but he is taking that message to the Jewish people. We do a lot of evangelism, not only to, you know, in areas of the world, but also in Israel. So, look to those organizations and take that for what it's worth. But thank you, Jerry, for coming to us and looking for a stamp of approval on a certain organization. Appreciate that. Rick Messmer sends in a question. He says, if born-again Christians will receive rewards while the tribulation is going on, will those saved during the tribulation also receive rewards? When in scripture reference? Well, yes, and I believe that the judgment seat of Christ, that time period, that happens immediately as we are ushered into the heavenlies at the rapture of the church. That's Revelation chapter 4. And we see that, and we can determine that by the garments that we will be wearing are determined by our righteous deeds. That's Revelation 19. And the crowns that those 24 elders are wearing, seated on the thrones in Revelation chapter 4, I believe that those are the crowns that we can receive, those five crowns that we receive for living our life, for giving the gospel message, for... You remember those crowns that we received, the crown incorruptible. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, bringing our bodies under subjection. That's a great one for missionaries, for people that serve, people that make a sacrifice, not following after this world, but really following after Christ and making a sacrifice and doing that. The crown of rejoicing, being a soul winner. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. Those people that lead people to the Lord, they will receive a crown of rejoicing. The crown of life, enduring temptation. That's James chapter 1, verse 12. The crown of glory, feeding the flock. People that are pastors, Sunday school teachers, anything, Bible study leaders. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4, feeding the flock, that crown of glory. And of course, those that love Christ appearing will receive that crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. So these are all the crowns that we receive in Revelation chapter 4. And those crowns that we receive, we lay those back at the feet of Christ. We really give them back to him for what he has done for us. So we're talking about the crowns. Will those that live through the tribulation period receive crowns or receive a reward? They won't receive crowns, but the reward they will be judged. That's that judgment that takes place in Matthew chapter 25, the judgment of the Gentiles and the judgment of the Jews. Remember, the judgment of the Gentiles is that judgment of sheep and goats. The judgment of the Jews, five wise and five foolish virgins. The reward that they get is that those that served and accepted and lived through that tribulation period, accepted Christ as the Messiah, they will live and they will be judged there. Their reward is that they get to go into the millennial kingdom. Those that rejected, or the goats, that's Matthew chapter 25, all those that it talks about, remember those, the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, and the faithful servant and the evil servant, that's all talking about those people that lived through the tribulation period, lived through it. Now, remember, there are going to be a lot of people that are going to lose their lives because they become followers of Jesus Christ. The condition for them to become a follower of Jesus Christ during the tribulation period is that they have never heard the gospel message and rejected it. If they rejected the gospel message, the plan of salvation, before the rapture takes place, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, they will be caused to believe a lie because they rejected the love of the truth. There will be many people, I believe millions, that will come to know the Lord should they live. Remember, during the tribulation period, there are 21 judgments that are unleashed on the earth. Within those judgments, half of the world's population will be wiped out. So should someone live through that and accept Christ as their Savior, as the true Messiah, they will become part of the saints, tribulation saints, and they their reward is that they will go into the millennial period. And so that's the reward that they get. So thank you so much for sending that question in. Hope that helps you. Thank you, Rick, for sending in that message to us, Rick Messmer. We really appreciate you studying God's Word, and hopefully that will help you as you study. But study Matthew chapter 25. That helps you understand those the rewards, where they will come from for those that live through the tribulation period. Donald Cox sends in a question. He says, our country is under judgment. And he says, I'm sure you probably get at least one of these questions a day. There are those that advocate leaving the country in light of what has happened in recent years, and in particular as to what is said to occur in the near future. Do you have any thoughts regarding this? Well, Don, for sure. I mean, I think our country, and I tell people, you know, as Christians, we are citizens of heaven. That's where our citizenship is. That's what we need to be about, realizing and understanding. We're just living on this earth for a short period of time, and we happen to be born in the United States of America. It's a great country. It was a great country. It was a great place to grow up, but it is increasingly getting worse. That's the same with countries all around the earth, all around the world. They are getting increasingly worse. That's one of the signs of the end times. And Peter mentioned that when he was talking about the last days or the end times. People will become scoffers. They will scoff. They will disregard the creation. They will become dumb on purpose. I like the way Dad says it. They will become ignorant of creation and so many different things. They will make fun of this promise of the Lord's return. He said, remember this, the Lord is long-suffering toward us all. He's not willing that any should perish. So we understand that this is where the world is going. It's not getting any better, and the United States is not going to get better. The United States that we live in today is not the same United States that we lived in 10 years ago. It is changing rapidly. And I have said this over and over. I'm a true patriotic person. I grew up, my parents instilled in me the patriotic. My dad was in the Air Force. I was born at an Air Force base in Del Rio, Texas. I love the military. I live in a city of San Antonio. There are 5 military bases around us. I do a Bible study. I'm one of the Air Force bases here. So I'm very much aware, and I'm very thankful for the lives that have been lost and for those men that serve our country. But I am not about saving the United States of America. I am about saving every person that doesn't have a knowledge of Jesus Christ as their the person that died for them, that shed his life, that died on the cross, and by his blood that was shed covers the sin of all of mankind. And by going from that cross into the grave 3 days later, conquering death and raising again, that's the only way to get to heaven. And Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no access to the Father except by me. So that's what I am about doing, and that's what I'm about saving, is my next-door neighbor, my community, and telling them and making sure. That's why we do evangelism. Bible prophecy is to help us to understand the times in which we're living and how the urgency of the hour should promote within us a sense of urgency to tell others. And besides that, I mean, I believe that there's only one thing that needs to happen before the rapture of the church takes place, and that is for people to get saved. God is holding the doors of heaven open, and at some point he's going to tell his son, go get your bride. And that's when that last person will be saved. But until that point, we are to be about telling others. But before the rapture of the church takes place, and I believe it could happen before I'm done with this program, and if not, see me later on today. I'll tell you it's going to happen before this day's over, and before I believe it could happen at any moment. But it might not happen for another 15, 20 years. I don't know. But death can happen in people that do not know or have the saving knowledge that Jesus Christ died for their sins. And so that's what we should be about saving. I mean, countries have come and gone, and we can look throughout the history, look past history of major empires that have come and gone and have fallen and are no longer. Nothing that says the United States. The United States is not mentioned in Bible prophecy. So I think we're going to become under more persecution. I think you're going to see people that are believers in Jesus Christ, that are patriotic, that are going to have to decide between one or the other, living for the country of the United States of America or living for the Lord. I choose to serve my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to live for Him, to fulfill what He has requested of me to do, which is to tell others, first of all, is to bring glory and honor to God in all that we do as believers in Jesus Christ. And then second of all, I want to be able to tell others. A byproduct of giving glory and honor to God and all that we do is that we tell others about Jesus Christ and that He died for their sins. So that's what we should be doing. That's my thoughts on that, Donald. I hope that was the way that you wanted to go in that. But anyway, that's the way I read the question. And I'm not about saving the United States, although I'm very patriotic. My wife is in politics. I'm very aware of what's going on politically and around me, but that's not my main purpose, is to get the right man elected in office. If the church did their responsibility, their job, if they fulfilled it, and I mean the church, I mean not just our local church building and institution of the church, but if the body of Christ did and fulfilled their responsibility when they became a part of the body of Christ, we wouldn't be in this situation of where the United States or the world is in today. That's the basic problem. So anyway, thank you, Donald, for sending that in, and kind of got off on a hobby horse there. But we've been involved. I ran for office when I ran for state assembly in New York State. My dad ran for Congress and state assembly in New York. We both have been involved in politics. But I believe that we have a much higher calling than that's out there, and that is to serve the Lord in all that we do. Thank you, Donald. God bless. Well, that's all the time that we have today. I do want to read one more. We've got an email from a young man from India. Dear sir, I am Joshua Madhubabu from India. Your emails really inspired me a lot. All these days, I regularly read your mails. I never forget to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Please continue your emails. Thank you in precious Jesus Christ's name, Joshua. Wow, that is so special. Here's an email from a young man from India. Isn't technology wonderful today? We can sit in our studios. We can write at our desk, on our laptops, and we can send it out, and we can reach the whole world from our homes, our offices, wherever we are. Let me encourage each and every single one of you in the days in which we're living. We understand that we're living not just in the last days anymore, not just in the last hours or minutes. I believe that we are living in the last seconds. The Lord is about ready to return. I really believe that with all of my heart, and I pray for that every single day. Let me encourage each and every single one of you to be busy about what God has for you to do on this earth at this particular point in history. What is God's plan for your life? What does He want you to do? Well, we do know it is to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, and to bring glory and honor to Him. And a byproduct of all of that is to make sure that those around us know the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's God's plan for redemption for all of mankind. And we need to make sure that everybody that we come in contact with, everybody that we work with, live with, go to school with, whatever we do, ride motorcycles with, whoever we are friends with, they need to know that, because that is God's way for mankind to have a restored relationship with Him. Thank you. Understanding the times in which we're living, it's about ready to take place. That rapture could happen at any moment. Let's keep looking up until.
thank you so much for joining us today. This is Jay Johnson inviting you to join us again next week for more of Prophecy Today. Prophecy Today is a listener-supported production of Shofar Communications in Chattanooga, Tennessee.